I think what we're all wondering is, how can we join that party that's happening behind you? Is that the Chinese equivalent or Cuban equivalent of shoes off for the boys in green or something?
Yeah, there's just Russians in front of me here with selfie sticks, and I think there's kind of central kind of Asian Russians, because obviously there's different shades of, like, it's a Eurasian country, of course, because we're in the European part of it at the moment. They must have, like, come in from, I don't know where.
Ulaanbaatar.
Exactly. I'm seeing, like, I'm looking here, there's a man, like a Saudi Arabian fan. I'm looking further down, there's Colombian fans, and there's a banging drum. The drum is outside the metro, so I don't know what's going on down there. Huge police presence, but a carnival atmosphere, folks. And look, this is like the Olympic Games. When you think about the Olympic Games, it's a great thing for the city it's in. And it's a great thing for all the people around the world watching on television, like the O'Donovans, and being brilliant stars for a country, or Katie Taylor and that. But the Football World Cup is a gathering, a celebration of cultures and people coming and having the crack from all different parts of the globe to one place. And that is Russia this year. 1,800 miles will be between all the venues. But, like, there'll be three billion people watching the World Cup over the next month, and 1.5 million people coming to Russia. So let's hope it goes off well, without any incidents, with a lot of people with smiles on their faces, with good weather, and with lots of goals, lads. 171 goals 4 years ago. Let's hope that's surpassed, starting today with Russia against Saudi Arabia.
Before the match, the Germans were booed when they came on, and I was going, this is a bit odd. The Germans had good support, but the Mexican support was outrageous. They were a 12th man, and when they scored through Irving Lozano in the 35th minute, the only goal of the game, beer just flew everywhere. People were just throwing plastic glasses of beer into the air. And I've never seen that before in a football match. And I just, the smell of beer for the rest of the game was just bizarre. They won. And I think it's probably one of their biggest win ever outside of their own country. They hosted the 86 World Cup, got to the quarterfinals then. But their biggest win, they beat the world champions. And then after the game, just the fans went mad. I was just kind of following them around and got into some kind of huddles with them because I was taking some social snaps for off the ball outside the stadium.
Yeah.
So I ended up in the middle of a mariachi band with about 50 people around, and they're all got their selfies and they're all taking their selfies. And it was just bizarre. And I'm kind of going, I wonder if, like, somebody's going to tap me on the shoulder and going, who are you? There was another group of, there was this young lad. He must be about 12 years of age, and he was the TV host. So he was hosting the television.
I've seen this
show
on your blog as well. People can find this on offtheball.com. He was hosting a TV show in Russia, yeah?
Yeah, this 12-year-old kid. He looked about 12. He might be younger or older, but he was hosting it, the cameraman and everything. And they were getting people around him, and they started chanting different chants. And there was one chant that a gentleman held up his baby in a Mexican shirt. Like, held up his baby on this TV show with the young lad who's about 12 years of age. And in various guises, the young lad might put on a wig or sombrero or this, get up. And then you people in these crazy costumes. And it was just this absolute people high on life.
Yeah.
And we know that ourselves from the three World Cups we've been at Ireland as Ireland fans.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Let's go to our man in Russia, mainly Moscow. John Duggan from our sports department has been travelling to games all over the country. And John, what I'm as interested in is not just the matches that you're at. I'm more interested actually in what you found with the people and the places. Because has there been a Potemkin village element to all of this, that Westerners have been kept corralled in certain places where it all looks great?
No, Matt, I think it's too vast a show for things to be corralled, and there's too much going on, and there's too many people coming here. 1.3 million people. I think my biggest impression of it so far, I think it's the biggest tourism project in the country's history, and they're playing a blinder, Matt. They're playing a blinder. It's far more modern than the Rio Olympics when I was out in Brazil. It's like any other global city, Matt. Moscow, Western stores, iPhones, restaurants, modern railways, the metro, which is just bathed in this beautiful architecture and classical buildings. They come at every 30 seconds during rush hour. The people are friendly. The weather is fantastic. And Moscow itself has got some beautiful classical historical buildings, the Bolshoi, the Kremlin, and obviously a huge nod to the Soviet era, Lenin, Stalin, and that. So,
I hope you've been taking that all in. I hope it hasn't just been football matches you've been going to, John.
No, ma'am. I suppose with Ireland not here, and no Ireland team to cover, and the boys in green, the fans would love it here, I'm telling you that. it would say to you a lot to you about media coverage. My expectation coming here, I was a bit daunted. I was a bit worried. Would I, you know, be safe? Would my belongings be safe? Would I get mugged? Would I be asked for my papers? Would the people be unfriendly? It's nothing of the sort. It's absolutely nothing like that. And what I'm here to do, Matt, in terms of my own agenda, is what I want to see, Matt. I watched the World Cup since I was seven for the last 32 years. Is the World Cup a positive touch point for humanity? And is it the greatest show on earth, as they call it? And it absolutely is. Football is a global language, Matt. I was in Nizhny Novgorod, which used to be known as Gorky, which was a closed city for 30 years, for three decades, between the late 50s and the early 90s. And to see Panamanian fans going crazy at their first World Cup, and I'm in the middle of it, in Nizhny Novgorod, and the Russian people themselves embracing it, was just a beautiful thing to see that 30 years ago, foreign people were not even allowed into Nizhny Novgorod, and it's hard enough to get into the Soviet Union in the first place. To see Poland and Senegal fans, countries that never played each other in a football match before, taking photos with each other outside grounds before a really good atmosphere. I haven't seen any trouble. Of course, you're going to get one or two incidents.
The hooligan thing was a big worry, wasn't it? That you have a reputation for club football in Russia of hooligan elements, and racism been a major issue as well, with players from Africa in particular getting a really bad time from Russian fans. Has there been any sign of anything like that?
No. There was a little bit of jibes between the Argentinian and Croatian fans that I saw the other night in Nizhny Novgorod, but I think that was just pure frustration on behalf of the Argentinian fans. I think the biggest story about Senegal matches that they're clearing up the stadium after, you know. So that was the biggest story about Senegal. I think there's a huge amount of control here, Matt. I think that Vladimir Putin is. I think there's a bit of a defiance here about the hosting of the World Cup, and it's, we're going to show the world that we can do this, we can organise this, and the organisation has been extremely efficient. Like, I'm walking out of the Luzhniki Stadium after watching that boar fest between France and Denmark last night. Unfortunately, probably the worst game of the competition, and there'll be some great matches. It's almost like you're walking down a hotel corridor. You know it's very narrow. Think about on either side of that hotel corridor where you're walking, there are police. There are police on the left and there are police on the right. There's police at my budget hotel. I'm not staying in the Four Seasons, Matt. I'm staying in a budget hotel, four police. Everybody's been registered. When I went to Nizhny Novgorod, they're checking the passports, the photocopy and everything. So there is a huge degree of control here. What would it be like if I came back in January? I don't know. But there is that sense
of
control.
It'd be cold, John. It'd be very cold.
Yeah. It'd be very cold. And it'd be like, instead of the parks I'd be going to, I'd be going to skating rinks. Not that I can skate, but I've never heard a noise like it, Mirren. I felt like I was in a swarm of locusts in the safari somewhere in Africa. It was just unbelievable. Just this deafening noise, this euphony of utter celebration of over 70,000 fans, most of whom were Russian. They shut up shop, they went to penalties, they played for penalties, and Spain tried to pass them out of the tournament. Spain took it for granted. And then when Akinfeev, the goalkeeper, saved the penalties, I think there was just utter shock and utter joy from the Russians, who were the worst ranked team coming into the competition. And then they won. And I don't think they could believe it. So they haven't since 1970 reached the quarterfinals of a World Cup. It was the Soviet Union then, it was a closed country then. And when I got off the metro, I didn't know what to expect. And what I saw was the whole city of Moscow going absolutely crazy. People just getting out of their cars when they're driving their cars, the passengers, and hanging out the windows.
Yeah.
One lad was carrying an ice hockey stick out of the top of his car. Another fella in a green Porsche, in the most expensive Porsche I think I've ever seen, with the biggest flag I've ever seen. And then people, some of them half-clothed, jumping into fountains. All this kind of just crazy behavior. That was, and every single car was beeping, the horns were blaring.
Yeah.
And then I went in to watch Croatia, Denmark. When it came out, it was still the same scene down near the Kremlin, down near Red Square. Every single car beeping their horns, and on the streets, people just going absolutely mental. So much so that the police had to go out with a loudspeaker around in the vans and telling people to calm down and stop hanging out of cars.
Because so that's how we don't associate them with this expression of joy, you know, of being effusive like this, Russian people. And then, of course, on Twitter as well, the memes in relation to Putin kind of going, well, Russia are never going to beat Spain. And then Putin's on the phone kind of going, yes, we're going to beat Spain. So the tinfoil hats are on everywhere. So it'll be exciting to see what they can do in the final eight. But we've got to talk about a teenager, Kylian Mbappe. From France beat Argentina 4-3. He was wonderful, John.
Yeah, there are these kind of funny virals out there mirroring of Kylian Mbappe when he was 13 with sitting in his bedroom with all photos of Ronaldo all across his wall, or the photo he took with Thierry Henry when he was 11. He did a trial at Chelsea, and now at 19 he's gone further in the World Cup than Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. It's quite an incredible story. France last won the World Cup in 1998. The manager Didier Deschamps lifted the trophy. Kylian Mbappe wasn't even born. Pelé was the last player to score two goals as a teenager at the World Cup. That was back in 1958. So Kylian Mbappe, the world is his oyster. He's given all his money to charity, which is a great thing to see. And when Argentina went 2-1 up, France didn't panic, and Mbappe was the man who scored both goals. And he's just got everything. He's got battery in his feet, mirroring. He's got that Formula One engine, and he's just such an exciting player for the rest of the tournament. Alison, good morning from Samara.
So you've done 210, is it kilometers this morning alone in Russia?
Yeah, from Kazan, where Brazil played Belgium last night, and I've just arrived at a boiling hot Samara, which is near the Kazakhstan border, Alison, about 520 miles from Moscow, east of Moscow, where England play Sweden at 3 o'clock Irish time. I'm 3 hours ahead. This is a city where the rocket which launched Yuri Gagarin, the first man into space, back in 1961, was made. This is Samara. And also in World War II in 1941, when Moscow was potentially under attack, they never got there, the Germans, but this was a de facto capital.
That's amazing.
It's almost like making Cork the capital of Ireland for a day or so.
Exactly.
I'm sure they want it for longer, but that's where I am right now.
For now, it's a very special day for anybody who loves football. And we asked Off the Ball's John Duggan to come up with something a bit different, an exclusive, a little bit special, to celebrate the World Cup final. So here is the history of every World Cup final there's ever been in 5 minutes with John Duggan. Enjoy.
The World Cup final. For me, it's the pinnacle of Earth. For football is the global language, spoken with passion and joy around the world, uniting people regardless of colour, creed or geography. A positive touch point for humanity. Today at 4 o'clock Irish time, France and Croatia will contest the 21st World Cup final at the Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow. It all started back in 1930 with 13 teams in Uruguay, won by the hosts. It then moved to Europe with Italy the champions of 1934 and 1938. In 1950, we had the first great final, although it was a deciding group game. Uruguay shocked Brazil then 2-1 in Rio, known as the Maracanazo, the saddest day in Brazilian football history. In 1954, there was an earthquake, the miracle of Bern, as West Germany, unheralded at the time, shocked the best team of the world, Hungary, by 3-2. 1958 and 1962 belonged to Brazil. Pelé scoring twice in the final against Sweden in 58, Garrincha and Vava propelling the Seleção to victory over Czechoslovakia in 62. And then in 1966, this happened.
And here comes Hurst, he's got some people on the pitch, they think it's all over. It is now.
Jeff Hurst's hat-trick meant football was coming home as England defeated West Germany 4-2 at Wembley. In 1970, we saw the greatest international team of all time, Brazil, blitz Italy 4-1 in Mexico City. Carlos Alberto's goal, the epitome of O Jogo Benito. 1974 was the last final for the Netherlands as Gerd Müller, Der Bomber, struck to give West Germany a 2-1 win in Munich. 1978 saw Argentina win the World Cup for the first time, the ticker tape final against the Netherlands. The 3-1 win against the backdrop of a military junta and the sadness of the disappeared. There will never be a celebration to match what we saw in 1982 to grasp what the World Cup means. Never. Tardelli's goal and celebration helped Italy to a 3-1 win over West Germany in Madrid. 1986 was the Maradona World Cup. He didn't score in the final, but the brilliant Diego passed for Jorge Burruchaga to finish as La Albiceleste beat West Germany 3-2 in an exciting final in Mexico. By 1990, Germany was on the verge of being unified, and West Germany gained revenge with a 1-0 win over Argentina in a poor match in Rome. The World Cup final can also deliver moments of great pain.
Wildly against Italy now. Roberto Baggio, the saviour of Italy throughout this tournament. He's missed it, and Brazil win the World Cup.
Roberto Baggio's miss for Italy ensured Brazil were world champions in Los Angeles in 1994, the first penalty shootout in a final. 1998 marked the arrival of this man in a World Cup final. Zinedine Zidane scoring two headers as France beat a below-par Brazil and Ronaldo 3-0 in Paris. But 4 years later, the phenomenal striker made amends in Yokohama.
Ronaldo's dummy! Ronaldo! It's 2-0! And Ronaldo is rampant now! Resplendent Ronaldo!
That 2-0 win for Brazil over Germany was followed in 2006 by another penalty shootout in a final as Italy won on spot kicks against France in Berlin, the day of the Zidane headbutt. In 2010, Spain came of age. Andres Iniesta with the goal deep into extra time as La Roja saw off the Netherlands 1-0 in Johannesburg. And 4 years ago in Rio, the game once again went to extra time.
Kommen Sie nochmal die Deutschen über die linke Seite. Ball kommt in die Mitte rein. Die Möglichkeit für Götze. Tor! Tor für Deutschland! Mario Götze macht das 1-0! Die Flanke!
Germany's 1-0 win over Argentina saw Lionel Messi go home empty-handed. That's what the World Cup final is. Pure. The greatest players in the world are not guaranteed to win it. It's a heavenly club. And later this evening, players of France or Croatia will be members. For Les Bleus, it's the opportunity for a new star, Kylian Mbappe, to shine. Or Paul Pogba or Antoine Griezmann. For Croatia, led by Luka Modric, in their first ever final, it's a chance for a small country the size of ours, which has experienced suffering, to reach for the summit. It's been a magical month. Russia have been amazing hosts. So who will it be? France or Croatia? We know the history. The celestial power of sport is that the future is unwritten. Enjoy the World Cup final.
A man who has been on the ground in Russia for over a month now is our John Duggan from Today FM Sport and writer for offtheball.com. And John joins us on Skype right now from Russia. Hello, John.
Dave, good morning from Moscow.
You were lucky enough to be at the stadium yesterday as France won the World Cup for the second time in 20 years since they won it in 98. What was the experience like?
Dave, it was just magical. And it's something I will never forget, and I'll bring it for the rest of my life to be a 7-year-old watching Diego Maradona on a television, and 32 years later to be watching a World Cup final in the flesh. It doesn't get any harder than that. It's the pinnacle of my earth. And the atmosphere lived up to the occasion. It's all started off with the closing ceremony involving Ronaldinho, a former Brazilian World Cup winner, on the bongo drums.
Can't argue with that.
To Will Smith singing to this incredible game, which had the first own goal in the final, the first VAR, video assistant referee decision in the final. To six goals, to thunder and lightning, to Vladimir Putin under umbrellas, to Conor McGregor, to the whole bizarre and beautiful, magical, mysterious World Cup, which I think had a fitting conclusion to what's been an amazing month.
It has. And do you think that France were the deserved winners? I mean, obviously, it's a strange World Cup in the sense that a lot of the big guns went out early, and then there were some upsets along the way, and we'd know Ronaldo, and we'd know Messi, and we'd know Germany, and we'd know Spain, and it ended up that, you know, France, to me, looked like they deserved it throughout their performances in the entire championship. But what do you think?
I completely agree with you, Dave. I thought yesterday in the first half, Croatia were the better team. I thought they played better football. France perhaps inhibited by the occasion and didn't possess a good tempo early on. But France were lucky to be 2-1 up at halftime through the free kick that went off Mandzukic's head and then that controversial penalty, which Griezmann scored. But once France got into their rhythm in the second half, they were the better team, I felt, with Pogba and Mbappe scoring. But overall, as you say, I think they've been the best team of the tournament because they've got a great balance to their side, not many weaknesses in the team, and they've got an extremely good squad.